Blog Talk Radio.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the
to Terrify Radio. I am one of your hosts, Kevin of Unknown Paranormal, and with me as always is Miss Jody Parks. Hey Jody, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Doing pretty good. Getting ready for an investigation, and that's coming up this weekend, so
Yeah, where are you going?
We're going to a location that we used at East Texas Ghost Con last year. And it's called Hotel Marshall. It's a 8-story hotel that was built in the 1930s. And that location is pretty active. When we were there, Fort Worth Paranormal did some filming for a pilot for a show, and Sean and I stayed with them, and that's the place where Kevin Bryan, founder of Fort Worth Paranormal, he got scratched. I sat there and watched him appear across his back. So it's pretty crazy.
Wow.
So, yeah, we got some experiments. I spent today while I was at work when it was kind of slow, and I wrote up some experiments. You know, it's been a long, 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 long time since high school and college when I had, you know, chemistry and biology, all that, where you had labs, right? So, because I want to set these up just like an actual experiment you do. So I have my hypothesis, control, variables, all that good stuff. So we're going to be testing fire. We're going to use an open flame either by a Zippo or by a candle. And we're going to compare results with fire and without and see if we get more activity. Because some say that spirits are attracted to fire. So we're gonna put some of these theories to test. And we're also going to...
What Nostradamus used was fire and water. And he would gaze into them. So are you guys going to be like gazing?
No, we're gonna use all of our equipment. We're gonna do a baseline reading in whatever floor we pick of the hotel. We do some baseline readings. We're gonna do an EVP session for about 15 minutes. You know, that's your control. And then we're going to bring the candle in, put it by all the equipment, and repeat the same thing. Do another 15-minute EVP session and see if we can get... Well, first we're going to do it without saying anything about the candle being there, right? We're just going to go about our business and talk. Then the third stage is we're actually going to verbalize, say, you know, manipulate that flame, make it move, whatnot, right? So there's three stages that we're doing. We're also going to be doing some tests on quartz because a lot of people say that quartz holds energy, right? It can charge the air. Well, we're going to do a three-stage process with it. And basically, I've written all this stuff up so that if these things are successful, you know, if your team wanted to do it or any other team out there, it's step-by-step instructions of what to do, how the experiment goes, and what the, you know, and then you record your results. So I'm hoping that we get some things going on, some results where this is a valid experiment to pass to other teams so that they can try it and send us back results. And we're actually going to use a quartz, put them in a square, and do an EVP session, spirit box session, and then we're going to take the quartz out of the room and put them next to an EM pump and actually charge them, you know, because it says they hold energy. Well, why not put them next to an EM pump and see if we can charge these things, bring them back in the room, and do a repeat session. So we're going to do that, and then we're doing I've talked about it on the show, the flashcards with questions that we're going to hold up that we have no clue what the question is written on the front of the card. And we're going to see if we can actually get some EVPs. We're going to do it with the EVP recorder first, and then we're going to go back and we're going to do it with the spirit box and see if they actually answer the questions that we hold up. And it's to take the human element out. If we don't know the question, then we don't know the answer, therefore the human brain is not influencing the environment. So those are three experiments we're going to do Saturday. How do you like
that? I look forward to hearing what the results are next week.
Yeah. How do you like them apples, Jody? This is the new and improved Unknown Paranormal for 2013. This is what we're going to be doing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, how's everything been going your way? I know about that. But besides that, you got things coming up or anything, you know, events, or is your team going to go film anytime soon?
Yes, I will be in, you know, I might go to, I might fly into Los Angeles and then drive to Vegas and fly out of Vegas, or I might just go to Vegas. But if I go into L.A., then I'm probably going to go and fart around in a place that, yeah, will be very nice to play in. And then I'll be heading over to Vegas and playing over there and doing that project that I can't talk about yet until I get there. So, yeah, you know about that. I just can't talk about anything right now, and it sucks. You know what I mean? It does. It's really hard to keep things in when you just want to go ahead and start expressing it. You know what I mean? Like, this is what I'm getting ready to do, and holy hell, Batman, let's go for a ride, right?
Exactly.
Another adventure that I'm getting ready to go on. I have a lot of adventures towards the end of the year, you know, but they're just kind of being set up. Contracts haven't completely come in, but they're cool things. They're different. They're pulling me away kind of from the paranormal field, which in a way I'm kind of happy about. I don't really feel accepted in the paranormal field and appreciated. And I just, you know, I don't feel like there's a lot of people that really have my back. So I'm definitely going to be moving forward in different directions. You know what I'm saying? But still never losing my you know, my ghost hunting, nobody can take that away from me. You know what I mean?
Right. Well,
yeah.
You know that I always have your back. I've had it for almost a year now.
Yep. You've been good to me.
Well, that's just the way I am. Sometimes it gets me in trouble because I'm too nice.
Hey, me too. You know what I mean? Me too. And, you know, I don't know. Things happen for a reason. Bad things happen for a reason.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. And we have some really cool guests coming on tonight, and they're actually been listening on hold. I'm going to talk about them for a couple of minutes, and then we're going to get them on the show tonight. And they've had a long day. They've been staying up late because over in the UK it's actually 2:15 in the morning. So unlike us, who it's still early in the evening, you know, not for them. Tonight we're gonna have Paul Green and Stephen Lambert. Paul Green is the psychic biker, is unique in the psychic world, a gifted medium and psychic, who was once an ardent skeptic, a hardcore, no-nonsense biker who would look more at home on the door of a nightclub than offering the service as an psychic medium. And make no mistake, Paul is opinionated and brutally honest. Yet he is respected by all who know him, or as he would describe himself, attitude with empathy. And also we have Stephen Lambert, extreme ghost hunter, has vast experience in investigating the paranormal. He has spent countless dark hours at haunted locations working alone on paranormal vigils. He is a firm believer in taking ghost hunting back to the basics, with a hardline outlook on seeking out the truth within the previously unexplained. And we're going to get them on here. Let me scroll back up. Hey, guys.
Hello. It's Stephen here. Unfortunately, we've lost Paul because of his internet. But you have me. Steven.
All right.
Unfortunately, where Paul lives in the country in the north of England, he has very poor internet. So I'll try and answer on behalf of Paul the best I can.
Uh-oh.
Hopefully your internet holds up too.
Yes, mate.
Yeah,
I think
you're
kind
of breaking up.
Oh, can you hear? Is that okay, or is that?
Yeah, you're good now.
Good now. That's
yeah.
Fine. Hello. Again,
so
Jody.
How are you doing? Are you drinking blood tonight with us vampires?
I'm basically drinking energy drink to keep us awake till the early hours.
Well, you had me on your show last week, so you got to really find out about me.
Yes.
And I had a great time on your show, by the way. You guys are good people.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So, Kevin.
Well, Stephen, I haven't met you yet. So, for all of our listeners out there, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into the paranormal field.
Yeah, I mean, pretty similar to, obviously, Jody knows from last week, pretty similar when I was young. Rightly or wrongly, I used to watch a lot of horror films. My dad loved horror movies. That sort of got us interested in the dark side, if you want to call it the dark side. And then a certain television program spawned everyone in the UK to go ghost hunting, Most Haunted. So I searched the internet, joined a local group of basically basic ghost hunters at the time. And that was the catalyst to the start of how I got involved, basically my dad, and then a television program. Had an interest in it, but until that television program, it didn't really open up the avenues. And then after that television program, it went crazy, basically in England. I don't know what it was like in the States at that time, but in England, it went crazy. Everywhere was booked out solid for ghost hunting.
Oh, yeah. It seemed like after Ghost Hunters came on television, TAPS, it spawned, you know, paranormal groups out of the woodwork over here as far as people wanting to start investigating.
Yeah, I mean, it got, to be honest, it went from locations where didn't charge you anything, you basically could go, to became a business, really, which you can't blame business, you can't blame locations for doing it,
no.
Because everyone was doing it. And they obviously, a lot of them are charity businesses or funded by the government or whatever it may be, so they need to get as much money as they can from private income. So what tended to happen in the UK was that certain locations had certain groups in them, which was silly. And then you couldn't go on ghost hunt at that location unless you went with that group. And because there was a lot of silly infighting between groups and you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do the other, the whole thing became a bit farcical, to be honest. It didn't, you know, it wasn't enjoyable. And that's when I decided to go off by myself. This is before I met Paul. I decided to go off by myself, had an idea for a book. Not the book we've published now, a book I wanted to do originally, and decided to contact places in Scotland and Northern England, obviously close to where I lived, and go off by myself documenting the history, the ghost stories, and then spending the night alone. I would say about 90% of them alone, and experiencing things the way I wanted to. Not with spending hours setting equipment up and then being told. I mean, a lot of people, when it went crazy in England, when they went on a ghost hunt, they may have paid £30-40, which may be $70 or $80, whatever it may be, and then told they've got to go and sit and watch a television screen for 2 hours. Well, people didn't want to do that. People didn't want to. Well, I didn't want to do that. Be told I had to go and sit and watch a screen. I wanted to go on and wander around the location, some of these castles and places. And that's where I got to the next stage of going away by myself.
I like to rent places out myself as well. You and I talked about that on your show.
Yes.
I haven't done it in about a year. And it's so exciting, isn't it? Like, to be all alone. Like, it's like you know that no noise is like, you know, unless it's like the house creaking or if you hear something, like nobody's there to have you're alone.
Yeah, I mean, that was the one bonus when I approached places to go to, somewhere, family homes, which you would never have gotten into as part of a group. There's obviously had to be a bit of trust there. And some of the other places that you see, you turn up and there's no one else there, or you may have the owner staying in a room in one part of the, in as a castle as it was, and quite a few other places, and it's just you and the location. It's you and yourself in all your senses with the location, and there wasn't any fancy equipment. You know, I maybe just had something to record. I think I had a video camera and a pencil, a pad and a bit of paper. And that was basically it, just to record the experience. And obviously I knew the history of these places. I knew the ghost stories. So a lot of it was sitting in rooms, asking out. And that's what I enjoyed more about ghost hunting, was the actual experience in the location, as you should, not with 100 people running about on top of each other. And that was just my personal preference. Like I say, I have no problem with groups that want to spend hours and hours and hours setting equipment up, because that's the way they like to do things, and that's entirely up to them. And like I say, that's just my choice.
I had a question for you. Earlier you were talking about, like, groups, like, you know, attacking each other, and, you know, that's one of the reasons that you went off by yourself. Do you, people around you in your area, are you guys having Facebook frickin' wars?
I don't think it's as bad now as it was in the height, because in the height of it all, I mean, you do get a lot of people who just come on your Facebook pages and post stuff, and I hate that, when people just come on and post stuff without even asking. And, you know, I don't mind putting links on for anyone if they ask, or, you know, we never just put links on anybody else's pages, so I wouldn't expect, I mean, I put links on Jodie's pages, but that was to do with the show, but like, not like random links, like advertising an event, or whatever it may be, or someone's book, or a TV clip. So I think back then it was really bad, to the stage, you know, where you couldn't get into some locations because one group has that location. But now I think, sort of because of a lot of things, the recession, people haven't got the money, you know, to charge 50, in the price of ghost hunting in England's probably halved since the recession came, because people can't afford to do it every week. You know, they can't afford to go and pay $30, $40, or $70, $80 every week. So there was that, but I don't think it's as bad now, and I try to distance myself from any sort of, I'm not a bad person. Paul can get a bit irate with people, bless him. but it's more because I'm not like Paul, who's a psychic and a medium, and, you know, he's very, not opinionated, but he knows what he's talking about. And I think it's hard when some people comment, especially with Paul, because you get a lot of people who just think they're all, you know, they're all fake, and they're all, so obviously when people get at him, these heckles go up. So for that, what you're saying, going back to the question, Julia, it's not as bad now as it used to be, but like I say, I just distance myself from most people. I try to be nice with everyone, but you obviously get the ones, I know where you're coming from, that aren't.
Now,
well,
you know, You know, what's cool about over there is I had some friends that went to Scotland and England, Scotland and Ireland for a trip. And, you know, like, and he's psychic as well. And he said the spirits over on that side of the world, and they're a lot older, right? They've been dead a lot longer because there's obviously a longer history to what you guys have over there. And so I'm sure it's very interesting for you guys on investigations when you do go into a place by yourself. You have all those cool castles and stuff.
Yeah, well, lots of cool castles. And I think that's where Paul comes into his own, because you have that many different layers and that many different years of history. And it's good, and from a history side of things, I mean, I like delving into history and looking at things, and, you know, and I learn things I didn't know, you know. You learn all the time, you know. It's just, yes, we're blessed with all these castles, but, you know, I'd still like to be on your side of the pond for a little bit. I'll swap you for a bit.
I don't know. There's a lot of nasty spirits over here.
There's some places that you would love. Tell us about some of the places. What's your favorite place or places? Number one, scariest, of course.
Ooh, you're breaking up, guys. I can't.
What is your favorite or scariest location?
What mine is, Jody. Sorry, you broke up a little bit there. I couldn't. What my favorite location is?
Yes.
I've got two for different reasons. The one where we've had the most activity is Kielder Castle, which is on the YouTube video, The Ghost of Emma, which we filmed the pilot for TV at. And the worst place I've been to, if you put in together the horrible history of the place, which I could talk about a little bit of, it's pretty grotesque, is Chillingham Castle. It's supposed to be one of Europe's most haunted locations, and luckily for us, it's just up the road. and we've spent two nights there. I've stayed there socially, and I've done some stuff through the day and on the night time with Paul and the guys at Chillingham, and it's a pretty foreboding place. It's like the atmosphere is like what I always think is, I mean, I'm not psychic, or I do seem to pick up on stuff, but it's like a church. You go into church and the atmosphere is sort of heavy. That's, as soon as you walk in the place, it's like that. And when you find out the stuff that's gone on in the place and the torture chamber they've got, and they've actually got the equipment that was used in the torture chamber, which they killed children with and things, it is pretty, you know, in them days it was brutal. It was brutal. and the English were fighting the Scots, and there was a lot of people killed and tortured in that place for pleasure, basically, rather than anything else, just for the pure hell of it.
Wow.
Are you there, guys? Sorry.
Like, how old was the location?
Well, Chillingham Castle, I mean, Kielder Castle, which is the other one which we filmed, the Ghost of MRF, that goes back to 1700s. Chillingham Castle is, you're looking, I think it's like from the 12th century onwards. So there's like all that history from when it was.
That's amazing history. Like, you have the cool stuff, you know.
You've got the weather, though.
You know, we got like the new stuff that's like, you know, you're lucky if, you know, we're going into places that, you know, go back, you know, 200 years, you know, that the building's still standing.
Mm.
You know, we don't have castles here to roam, do we? Kevin?
No. No, and my friend Mike, his last name's McCaskill, and he traced his family history all the way back to Scotland, and he actually did some more digging when he was over there and actually found where his family had a castle and went up there, and of course it's in ruins, but he was standing there, and a gentleman appeared from, he said, probably the 12th century. And Mike was like, "Who are you?" And he goes, "I'm one of your relatives. My last name's McCaskill." And he was like, "Man, that was the weirdest crap," you know, because he's psychic and he's sitting here seeing one of his relatives from way back when, you know?
That is weird. That is weird. So they're the two, Keeler Castle, because of the experiences I've had there on a personal level, some of the stuff. And if people watch The Ghost of Emma, they'll get to know a bit about the stuff that went on. Stuff I still find hard to believe to this day. And the relationship that's supposed to be between the Ghost of Emma and myself, which is even crazier to take in, that there was supposed to be some connection with her and myself going back to Egyptian times, is just something I found hard to take in at the time, and still do to some extent. Can you still hear, guys? Are you still, can you hear?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
Just sorry, it was just breaking up a little bit, that was all, sorry guys. So yeah,
so you don't
the
like
two.
To use I'm sorry, go ahead. Go ahead, I'm sorry. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Steven, you still there?
Hello.
Yeah, I can hear you. It's just, it's cutting in and out a bit. I'm just going to try and move positions. I'm not sure who's suicided. Here's 2 seconds, see if I move, if that helps.
And the dead silence.
Yeah. I wanted to hear more about his book.
Yeah. He's still on there. Hopefully he didn't lose connection.
Well, maybe he'll work it out.
Yeah, I mean, what a lot of people don't realize, especially here in America, that side of the world has so many layers of history. It is nothing in comparison to, you know, I just, if I could go over there, I probably wouldn't come back because I would be so engulfed in investigating just about every building over there.
Yeah, that's why Brittany loves to go to Norway. Like, she'll go over there and, you know, go to the castles and stuff like that and just, like, basically suck in the history of the buildings and, you know. I mean, that's kind of part of, like, you know, what we're doing when we're there. We're kind of like, we're seeing it firsthand and then hearing the stories. And
hang on a second. Let's see. I think he's back on. Steven, you there? Oh, lost him. He'll call back. Well, you can at least say, hey, even the internet, even over there, they have problems, just like America.
Yeah. Bad connection.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, how cool would it be? I mean, I told Mike I was so damn jealous of him and his wife going over there. I mean, to actually find your ancestors' castle and stand on the ground of where your family was. I mean, that's where your family came from, right?
Right.
That's just crazy, you know?
Yeah, it is.
He said over there, they're very, very, very strong entities. Very powerful. Of course, you know, they've been gone for hundreds of years. And he said, just running into different spirits over there, he said it's just a different, they got a different feel to them, you know, and they're kind of, he said, some are kind of cocky. They kind of look at you like, hey, what's up? And then they just, you know, leave. You know?
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, he actually got to investigate the Edinburgh vaults over there.
Wow.
He said that place was just crazy active.
You know, I think it would be cool to go to, like, Japan. If I could, like, if somebody said you can just pick one place to go and, like, ghost hunt, I don't know why, but I've always, like, Japan. Like, I don't know, like, this, I guess because of scary movies, you know, Japan just, like, creeps me out for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, man. But, yeah.
Italy would be cool, too, to go ghost hunting in.
I want to go to Ireland and investigate some pubs.
Hey, they got the fairies in Ireland. I think ghost hunters. I can't remember if it was international, if they were the ones who did the fairies, but I, for some reason I thought it was ghost hunters maybe before international started. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But they investigated fairies over there. And they actually picked up on the thermal image, like, three lights out in the woods that they could not explain. It was a great story, though. You know what I mean? And that's kind of part of, you know, it's an adventure. You know, you may not get anything when we do what we do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Still waiting on him to call back in from Skype. So everybody listening, Stephen will be calling back in as soon as he gets his internet going. He didn't lose the internet completely because he's still in the chat, but his connection, Skype probably is giving him hell right now.
That sucks, man. See, technology isn't all that, and then some.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I did a show with him last week, and we had no problems, so who knows? Maybe it could be weather.
Oh, yeah, it could be anything.
Yeah.
Make sure my internet's still up so that I can receive his call when he gets back on. Everything seems to be in order here. But yeah, Jody, we're going to be testing elements. So that's cool. I have one member that it, well, two members, but one's a little bit more ahead than the other. And in fact, Miss Brittany's own backyard as far as Wicca. So we're learning about that right now. And we have Steven. Yeah. Okay. Let's get him back on.
Yeah, Brittany's got different ideas of things to do while investigating. And
Steven!
You know.
Steven, are you there?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Hey. Yeah.
It's just the sound's breaking up a little bit, so I might have to get you to repeat a question now and again.
Okay.
That's fine. I'm back.
Jody, you were going to ask him something, weren't you?
Yeah, I wanted to know a little bit more about your book, because you said, do you have more than one book?
Well, we've started on the second book now. The first book basically documented the early years, some of what I've just told you, as Paul did, his sort of early years, how he got involved in mediumship, how he was the skeptic, and then obviously was a believer, and was a beggar at the same time, which was probably hard to take for people to take in, with tattoos all over the place and a baldy head and a goatee beard. And then leading on to how Paul and me met, it sounds like some sort of love story, but it wasn't. and then some of the investigations we did locally, and it was sort of done in my own, sort of with a bit of humour in it. It wasn't all, it had a bit of history, a bit of humour, you know, the stuff that happened. And then we submitted it to an award with the publisher, to an award in London, and it got through to the final this year. So unfortunately, Paul's going to have to put a Dickie Bow suit on, which I'm looking forward to more than winning, if we win anything. And the second book, we're just working on ideas now. It's going to be a bit different to the fact that I think we're going to try and look at sort of unsolved or maybe it's paranormal related themes of stories or accounts where there's something not quite right with it, where, you know, someone's maybe a miscarriage of justice, or you know, there's just some sort of mystery about it, or the way someone's died wrong, or, you know, maybe think it's wrong. So obviously we're going to go and maybe back to the scene, or the scene or the place or the location. Obviously Paul psychically is going to see what he picks up on. I'm going to delve into the history and go back to the place itself, like I say, and see what we can come up with, and see what conclusion we get to, if that's any different to what the history books say, or the stories may say. The problem with the book, writing a book, it's one of the, when you finish it, it's great, but whilst you're doing it, you go through stages of wanting to, you're wanting to kill people, you're wanting to, because it's just, unless you get in the zone, you can sit for hours in the zone, but then you just, it's very hard to get in that zone at times. It's with everything else, and Jodie and yourself will know, when there's that much going on, you sometimes haven't physically got time to give 2 hours up to sit and write. And then sometimes when you have got the time, you're not in the right frame of mind. So so I'm looking forward to it, but I'm not looking forward to it, if you know what I mean. I'm looking forward to visiting the locations and delving into the history, but the actual sitting down and putting it all together is a right pain in the backside.
So now you guys, when you investigate, you guys don't use any equipment, correct?
Yeah, we sort of stripped that away, and as the girl in the chat room mentioned on earlier, we use, as Paul always coins, and he would say it if he was on here, the Mark I human. And that's just something we've took into the events we do, and people seem to enjoy it. They seem not to be given a bit of freedom on the location. They've paid their money, and a lot of them want to come and wander about themselves with, and some may bring their own equipment with them, which is fine. But I don't see why we should make people sit around for 2 and 3 hours while we set equipment up, especially when you can't get into the location nearly the same time as what the event's going to start. So we just decided we'll strip that away and we'll just do it as I used to do it in Scotland and one of these places, and just put the person against the location. If people want to try something, we'll try something. Obviously, there's the normal things people want to do on events. They want to try the Ouija board, you know, or they want to try table tipping or glass divination without the letters on the Ouija board. Or seances, or, you know, a lot of people do actually just want to go off by themselves, which, you know, I find quite interesting that a lot of people want to do that. And I think when going back to Most Haunted, when that was on the television, and you've probably had it, when I went ghost hunting back in the day when that was going crazy, I can remember sitting in a room with someone in the dark, and they said, nothing's happening. And I said, well, what do you mean nothing's happening? I says, well, you've only been here half an hour. And they said, well, on television, something happens every 2 minutes. And I said, well, I says, that's because that's television and that's entertainment. You know, that's a show. It's entertainment. That's why it's on the television. And that's 24 hours of footage put into well edited into an hour's worth of show. And they're not going to put something on the television that's boring because nobody's going to watch it. And I think people sort of after that, you know, when the Most Haunted thing wasn't on the television and had a lot of other sort of ghost hunting shows, people's perceptions changed a bit. And I mean, it may be different in the States, but I know we have a mix of groups here. A lot of them are technophobes, and a lot of them are, some of them are like Paul and me, and each to their own, you know, each to their own. There's no right or wrong way, I would say, to be honest. It would be wrong of me to say those people shouldn't be using all that equipment because they're silly, and I think it's the other way around. I think they would be silly to say you can't go and do it the way you do it. So.
Oh yeah. Now, over there, is the perception of the Ouija board? Do people look at it as, oh, this is a bad thing to use, it's evil, that type of thing? Or are people over there more acceptive to the Ouija board and seances and those type of things?
I think that the Ouija board's always got this stigma of being evil and doing bad to people. And I think because a lot of the time people have tried to do it when they've had a drink or they've, you know, normally they'll get the Ouija board out when they've had a few drinks on a night time and they'll, you know, like a parlor game type of thing. And, you know, stuff like table tipping and, you know, seances. I mean, I don't like seances. I don't like being involved with them because I've been involved in a few where people have gone and I worry at times. I think, you know, how am I going to bring that person back? Because some people, and you'll know, some people go. They just go, and I just won't. When we do seances, I leave Paul to deal with the seances and anything or any spirit that may be impressing on people because I just don't like them. I don't like the effect it has on people, on certain people, for whatever reason. And I've done one at Castle Keep where I was out the way of the seance, up the top, watching down from about 50 foot up, and I could just hear people dropping. You know, and there was just like, they were sitting in a circle and the people were just dropping. And you just think, you think someone had killed them. You know, they were just gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get other people who go running about screaming. You know, and I just, that sort of thing worries me more than a Ouija board. But that's just my perception. But the Ouija board, it'll always have that thing. I mean, we do events and you'll get people. The problem is when you start a session on a Ouija board and inevitably, for whatever reason, it works, people just want to sit and do that all night because something's happening. So,
yeah.
And you can't, it's very hard to get, pull people away from something which is happening in inverted commas or the glass is moving because they paid their money and they want action, you know. And if you're telling someone how we'll go and have a sit in a room and do a vigil in a room, like Jody and myself like doing, they'll just say, oh no, I want to stay here and watch the Ouija board. And table tipping, you know, I mean, I like table tipping. It's a strange thing when it gets going on some of the tables we've used. But to answer your question, sorry, I digressed a bit. The Ouija board, I think, just has the same stigma as it probably does in the States.
Well, over here, though, if we tried to do a Ouija board session or table tipping or a seance during a paranormal event, boy, Jody, they would be kicking us out quick, wouldn't they?
A seance?
Yeah.
No.
Wait, say that again. If we were doing a seance, what?
I said if we were doing a seance or a Ouija board or table tipping at a big paranormal conference event, we would get run out of town.
Yeah, you know, I actually showed up at a location with a Ouija board. And before I went, I called them and said, I'm going to be doing this, 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 and this. I'm going to be bringing this, 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 and this. Do you have a problem? And they said, absolutely not. And we all paid a lot of money to be there. And we get there, we get out of the car, we whip that Ouija board out. We're all taking pictures with it. And the girl said that she wasn't going to let us in there if we were going to take that in there. And I lost my goddamn cuckoos. And Phil actually took over the situation. And we got in there and we did our thing. And but it could have gone real bad. If Phil wouldn't have been there, like, I'd have been fighting this chick. I would have. I mean, that's just that, you know. I mean, don't tell me I can bring the, you know, bring what I want, and then when I get there after renting it and paying, you know, I mean, we traveled like 17 hours to get there.
Bring
so, you know, I was pretty irked, but I don't know. Ouija boards, I've never seen them work. I know that they've caused problems. You know about the movie The Exorcism, right?
Yeah.
Well, that actually happened here in St. Louis where I live. So, like, the church is 15 minutes from my house. The hospital is, like, 15 minutes from my house. Where the boy moved to St. Louis to live with his aunt or uncle, he lives about 25 minutes from my house. So it's like, you know, that happened here. And I know that, you know, it started, I believe, from a Ouija board, correct, Kevin?
Yes.
So, you know, I am aware of what it can do, but I personally have tried to use them several times, and I've seen nothing. I've experienced nothing, so.
On my side, I've never seen one in action, somebody using it. But I always get the phone calls from the clients who have played with them, and now they got all kinds of crazy stuff going on. So I see the aftermath of, and just like Steven said, a lot of the times, it's especially over here in Texas, people get bored and they start doing, you know, having a few drinks, they get dropped, they're like, hey, let's talk to our deceased grandmother, and next thing they know, they got, you know, a real dark entity in their house throwing crap at them and everything else, so, yeah.
We tend to take the, I mean, I've got a Ouija board, and it's in the boot of my car, but we tend to take, because of the problem with the Ouija board is straight away for me is to take a bit of the doubt away. We just use the glass most of the time, do a bit of glass divination on the table itself or wherever it may be, rather than have the numbers and the letters there. Just to take that away from people, sort of, it becomes a story with some people when they're doing it. You know, it's like they're asking leading questions. They're not asking questions to try and, you know, they already know the answer to the question before they're sort of asking it, all them sort of things. But it's something people want to do. All the ghost hunts I've been on and the investigations, it's never been frowned upon using it by the location. It's more people on the event say, I'm just not touching it. You know, I'm not going to do it,
yeah.
Which is fine. And some people won't even be in the same part of the castle or the same room you're doing it in when you've got it out. But apart from that, I don't think it's got the same as what you're seeing. I know my girlfriend won't let us take it in her house, but...
You know, and there's people that collect them that have tons of them.
Yeah, some people collect them, isn't it?
Yeah.
I got a question from Liz in the chat room. She wants to know if you've ever used dowsing rods.
What was that, sorry? Oh, do we use dowsing rods?
Yeah.
I've got them. And I normally, what I do to people, because they're sort of a, well, I'm not saying a basic tool, but they're more of a sort of natural tool. I normally give them out to people on the locations, and some people to go crazy with, and some people they don't work. So I'm a bit open on, we've got them and we use them, but again, it's more the people who's on the event are actually walking around with them. But on a personal level, when I go somewhere, I don't use them myself in a location, if that's what Liz is sort of asking.
Yeah.
It's not a tool, it's not something I use myself when I go to a haunted location.
It's not really, it doesn't really give you valid proof of something going on, you know. It's one of those tools that, yeah, it's kind of fun to have and use, and, you know, like you said, hand it to people at an event, you know.
Mm.
But what are some of the things that you use when you personally go into a location? What are some of your favorite things to do, techniques or equipment or whatever that you use?
Like I say, we don't, because we've sort of stripped all the equipment away, a lot of the things we like. I mean, I like to try and, not to frighten people, but I like people to try and go off by themselves, obviously with a radio, or I'll be close by. And, I encourage people, if they want, to maybe just go and try and experience spending time alone in these places, because they may not get the chance again. What will normally happen is you'll get, we went ghost hunting with a team of nurses, all female, the last time I went, and you could just hear screams. It was just like, there was just one scream started another scream, and it was just like, follow the scream. But
that's
but,
hilarious.
And I call them screamers, but that's, you know, like I mean, I like doing table tipping is one of the things a lot of people like to do, because I think it's in perception in the head is, it's, I know it's a table, but it's not. It's not the Ouija board. It's not.
Have you ever actually had one move? Because I tried doing that my last investigation with like four people.
Yeah.
And we didn't have anything happen.
I've tried it a few different places, and certain tables, whether it's the makeup of the table, this is something else I've sort of been mulling in my head. If people are projecting energy in some way or form, some tables seem to work better than others. And I don't mean small tables that are easily movable. About 6 or 7 people on quite a biggish table at Keeler Castle, and the table was physically moving in such a way that you couldn't do that sort of movement. And my friend who came on an investigator was forward this time at Keeler again, and my best friend didn't believe, basically. He just came along because he was my friend. He said, I'll just come along and see what goes on. And we're doing table tipping, and then the next thing I know, the table was gone. And he said, I want to be out. I says, what do you mean you want to be out? He says, I just want to be out. I says, well, if you don't believe, you got nothing to be frightened of. You know, if you don't believe in it, you just... And he said, well, I thought you were lifting the table, so he put his whole weight on the table. And the table lifted them off at the opposite end to me, which I couldn't lift. Obviously, I couldn't lift up. And I think he realised at that point that it wasn't anybody moving the table. But I have had quite good successes, and sometimes when it just doesn't work at all. I've done it. We've even done it with things like chairs. When it's strange, you can do it with a chair. It's just, well, obviously, it's just like a table with a back on it. But you can do it with... I've done sort of chair tipping, if you want to call it chair tipping.
Well, that's cool. Do you use a voice recorder, right?
We do have our own voice recorders on. And I tend to use them when we're on solo vigils, asking out and things. And I mentioned this to Jody last week. I've probably got... From the early days of ghost hunting, I've probably got a suitcase full of tapes, which I've never actually watched. I could have the best footage in the world, but I just recorded when you were there, and then we were doing that many at the time. You put them in a box, and you never get the time to go around and look, unless you do it full time, and that's your sort of job, or you don't work and you put time through the day to do it. And I know Jody had an EVP, which we listened to last week, which was great. And I have had some strange things on old recordings, which part other people in the group, when we've split up the group, you know, they've took their recording equipment with them many years ago, and unfortunately we'll probably never hear them because they've given up and I've carried on. But I do like EVPs is one of the things that, if anything, sort of spooks us a little bit when you listen to things back. They're the things that are a little bit spooky. And China dolls. I hate China dolls. Them old-fashioned China dolls, I absolutely hate them. I'm terrified of them. So I don't want to... It's those Victorian nurseries. If anybody asks us to ghost hunt in a Victorian nursery, I would be with those little old metal framed prams and little wooden cots. Ugh, horrible. Horrible. Sorry.
Oh, you're fine. Yeah, well, now I just went blank. See, Jody, that's my old age kicking in when I go blank.
Yeah. So how do people find you guys? Like, how do people find your book and stuff like that?
Well, we've got the website, extremeghosthunting.com, and as with everything at the minute, it's Facebook, as you know, good or bad, whichever way you look at it. If you just search Extreme Ghost Hunting on Facebook. I should have touched on it earlier, how we thought up the name, but it's not because we go ghost hunting naked on cliff edges or anything like that. It's the extreme part of it was more for what we don't do rather than what we do. And at the time, everything was extreme on the television, and I just said, well, we'll call it Extreme Ghost Hunting, and it stuck. It's nothing special, really. People get hung up, I think, some people get hung up a little bit because of the extreme bit of it, but it's nothing really. It was just a name that was coined at the time, and the domain was free to buy, so I just bought it, and that was it. But obviously, if you just search Extreme Ghost Hunting, or EGH, we also have EGH Media, and we set EGH Media up primarily because when we were approaching people on projects and other things that weren't paranormal related, because it had Extreme Ghost Hunting in the name, it frightened them off straight away before we even got... If Paul didn't frighten them off with the way he looked, the email with Extreme Ghost Hunting on did, so... We created EGH Media just to take the edge off any sort of like contact we had to do with media people or things that weren't necessarily paranormal related.
Cool. Now, what out of any location that you would love to investigate that you haven't been to, what place would you want to go investigate?
What
would be your bucket list?
I think there's a few places. One of them's I would like to go to Romania to Bran Castle, which was supposedly Dracula's castle, and then. You know, and I've always had this thing about doing mental asylums and things like that, just for the, I don't know why, just for the sheer torture of it, I suppose. But obviously,
have a lot of we have great ones over here. asylums and stuff like that. We have some great prisons too.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Jody, we're crazy Americans, so yeah, the sane asylums over here are pretty active.
Yeah, they are. Some of the best places to be.
The problem over here
is... Hospitals are my favorite, though. I love hospitals.
What sort of abandoned hospitals or closed down ones or ones that are...
Abandoned ones that are being used as ghost honey.
You see, in England, when they shut things down like that, they normally, if they're not listed, so you can't touch them, if they're not listed buildings, they normally just pull them down. They're just, you know, that's just, and put new houses on, build new houses on top of it. But we haven't got a great deal of insane asylums or, you know, mental institutes there. Obviously, England's a lot smaller than states, so.
Yeah. Crazy here. And then, like, tuberculosis hospitals and stuff. We have some of those, but.
I'm going to one in May. It's a 10-story tuberculosis hospital that's abandoned, and I believe there was 32,000 deaths in the building.
Oof. Wow, where is this at?
It's in Arkansas.
Really?
I got the connections, Miss Jody.
I'm not too far from Arkansas.
Too far for me.
You must give me information next, or, you know, so I can hear about it.
Oh, yeah, I will.
That's awesome.
I'm trying to...
So how can you go ghost hunting?
To be honest, and you've probably found this as well, since we've started doing a lot of the media stuff and the radio and getting into television and doing the book, we sort of took our eye off the ball with the ghost hunting events or the investigations or whatever you want to call them. And it's only been recently that I've started booking more. But again, because of financial situation of people in England, as it is in a lot of places, people can't afford to go every other week. And what we found is we have a lot of people who come back again and again, and you can't expect those people to be paying every week. And a lot of the places in England, you're probably looking, I don't know what the exchange rate is, but it's probably averaging about £400-£500, which is maybe $700-$800. So you're probably doing an event and you're not, I know you people say make money off it, but if you put time and effort into it and traveling to get there, you want to at least cover your expenses. In a lot of the time, it costs too much to put them on. And Paul and myself have, like I say, because we're that busy, have just been sort of taking private things where people will say, I've got 20 people, can you book somewhere for us? And we'll just say yes, because that's easy. What? There's no tickets to sell. It's just someone's coming to us and saying, there's the money, will you book that place? They've already collected the money or they've got the deposit. And because we're trying to do the second book, we're trying to plan in weekends when we can go and travel to these places to actually record stuff, you know. And because we live a distance apart as well now, since Paul's moved, everything sort of has to be recorded. Like when we go to the location, it all has to be recorded on my, well, most of it's done on my iPhones now, on the apps you've got. And we record a lot of it, obviously, for later to go through for the two of the review. But events-wise, we probably don't organise that many because of the situation we're in.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, because I enjoy them, it's just they're a lot harder to organise, I think, than people realise. And unfortunately, like I say, that's the way it is. So
oh, yeah.
Not as many as you probably get to go on, or Jody gets to go on.
You know, I'm actually cutting back this year. I did way too many last year, and I'm doing things differently this year, you know? Kind of doing more of my own thing and kind of controlling my atmosphere and who I'm around.
Yeah.
It's been hard for me, you know.
It takes me about a week to recover as well when you lose a night's sleep.
Oh yeah, I mean, I get back from my trips and I'm beat for a couple. Like, it takes about 3 days for me to get back in the swing of it, energy wise.
Yeah, it is energy sapping.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Now, in your experiences ghost hunting, have you seen any apparitions or shadow figures?
I've seen, I would say, one definite, which I was in a place called Tibby Shields Inn, which is in the Scottish Borders. And basically there was some guys were doing a Ouija board session. And I was sitting back in a chair just relaxing my lay, if you can relax, if that's the right word. I was sitting back in the chair relaxing my lay, were doing a session, and there was a figure walk past the door. And I thought I had just seen something. Like, I just, you know, when you, something catches your eye and you think that couldn't have been a figure walking past. And it was the shape of, like, an old monk, if you imagine, like a monk with a hooded thing on walking past the door. And the guy sitting opposite said, "I've seen the reflection in the window behind you if something walked past the door." But obviously when we ran out, there was nothing there. Keilder Castle was the other place where stuff was happening in Askin at that place. But the ghost of Emma, we would ask for a whistling, or she could run up and down the stairs and you could hear the footsteps run up and down the stairs. It was some crazy nights in the place. But apparitions wise, one definite that's one I've definitely seen.
Mm-hmm.
And on Keilder location with Paul, one night Paul was there, there was some sort of black shadow enveloped Paul. And I forgot to press record on the video camera. He never lets us live that down. He tells that story, so I've told it on behalf of him tonight. So I had forgot to press record.
I hate it when it always seems to happen when, you know, we might be taking a break or the camera, the battery goes dead or whatever it might be, is when you get activity and you're just like, damn it, I wish I had, you know, been recording.
It always seems to happen. It's when you put a lot of effort into doing the table tipping or the seance, and then it seems a lot of the times when you're sitting just relaxing or taking a break from something seems to happen. And again, you know, is that just coincidence or is it because it's them just trying to wind you up a little bit, saying, "Oh, we'll get you when you're not." And it's happened to me before where stuff's been thrown and you're sitting just having a laugh between the two or three years. And then something will get thrown, or and that'll be it. Someone's running away screaming. Or
Now, have you ever had an experience where either it startled you, scared you, or just you left scratching your head going, how in the hell did that happen?
Yeah, it's probably most places, to be honest. There's a local air museum not far from where we live. And I used to be, there's a ghost of a Czech pilot who's supposed to be at this air museum, and he was over here in World War II. There's a lot more to the story, but I'll cut the chase. And basically, my girlfriend at the time was Czechoslovakian, and when I told the guy who ran the place that my girlfriend was Czechoslovakian, he said, "Oh, that's good." I says, "Why is that?" He says, "Because she can ask out and check to the Czech spirit," which had never been done before, obviously because it was in England. She was the first Czech girl who had been to this location. So it was quite a strange thing for me. We're in this hangar with a big aeroplane, and this guy, where the spirit's supposed to hide in a corner, and I was sort of creeping towards the corner underneath the wing of this plane. and my girlfriend at the time was asking out. I was telling her what to ask out in Czech. And it was quite a surreal moment, and you could see everybody was like, they had never heard her speak Czech before, so it was like, they didn't know what she was saying, really. And I was approaching, basically saying, look, if you don't do something, I'm going to come into the corner, which he didn't, he used to hide in the corner, apparently, and Paul was saying he doesn't like people encroaching on his space, and he was a spy for the Germans. And as I got closer, something, it was like a popping noise in the top, it was the strangest noise ever, like a popping noise right at the top of the hangar. And this metal bolt hit the top of the plane right next to us. And then another bolt flew past from behind and hit the plane in front of us, at which point my girlfriend started crying. People were running out screaming. And it's something that I can't explain. The noise, I can't explain the noise, like the popping noise, as though it was like dropped from a height by something that wasn't there. And then the two bits of bolts, that sort of one hit the top above us and one missed us. It was as though they missed us on purpose, like as a warning to say, I'll hit you next time. And I can't explain that. And another experiment we do on location is there's a jet plane. And the guy that restored the jet plane, I mean, I'm not talking about a full-size jet plane. I'm talking about like a fighter jet style plane. You put your hands on it. There's about 6 years, three either side, and you can't move it. But you put your hands on it and sort of just concentrate on the plane and ask questions. And the plane actually, whether it is moving or whether it's in your head, it feels like the plane. It moves back and forward. And it's the strangest thing ever. And if you see it to someone, try and move that plane, obviously you can't move it. But when you have your hands on it, and it seems to be the energy's pulsing, the plane seems to vibrate from side to side. And it's something every group does when they go there. And according to the guy that's there, they all feel the same. It's just strange. I don't know if Jody's done anything like that or yourself. Putting hands on jet planes.
yeah.
Hey, yeah. Kevin, you want to play him? Your EVPs, your best EVPs that your team has gotten. The ones we like to play.
Oh, you're talking. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's not. It's not really an EVP, but it was something that happened during our investigation. Let me find it real quick. We'll show you.
We just want to know if, like, you know, these kind of things happen during your investigations.
Okay, let me see here. Let's see. Oh, here it is. Here we go. Just waiting on it to play.
Do those kind of things happen, like, on your digital recorders?
I should have known that was going to happen. I was actually sitting trying to listen intently as well.
Did you hear it clear enough? And then after it, he said, I think he just shit himself.
That was me. That was me.
Do you
want to
hear
that.
It again?
Go ahead and play it again.
Okay. Hang on a second. Here we go. Yeah, that was during an investigation. Yeah.
Oh, my God. And I hate to say it, but it happens a lot while I am investigating. the guys will just start ripping farts, and we're all dying, you know? It's out of control. The boys' butts are out of control.
Well, we have spirits that they like to chime in as well, and they're pretty funny. And this EVP is actually a spirit that we're at our home base, you know, where the DVR system is, and I'm talking to my dad, and dad says, oh, and right after, oh, listen to what the spirit says. Here we go.
You got 30 there. Oh.
Did you hear that?
It's sort of cut off halfway through. You better play it again, I think. Yeah,
all right. Here we go. Hang on a second.
You got 30 there. Oh.
Yeah, decided to be a smart aleck and fill in the sentence. Dad says, oh, and the spirit says, shit.
Wow. That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a tendency to bring the comedy out in a lot of these spirits. I don't know. For us, it seems like when we're not asking questions, we may not even be paying attention to the spirits. We're just talking or farting or whatever it may be, and we get EVPs. Actually, Jody, I need to find that other EVP. I have an EVP of a location where one of the team members farted, and the spirit, you get a spirit voice saying, ew. Which I thought was crazy, you know. It's like, wow, they're commenting on that, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's some of the stuff that that we have over here. Now, have you ever gotten a chance to go to the Edinburgh Vault?
No, that's it. The short answer is no. Obviously, I know of them. It's in one of my plans to go. And it's not far. It's obviously maybe an hour, 90 minutes from where I live.
Wow.
But
that's nice.
Because we've been that many locations around where we are, where we live, and we did a lot of work at Chillingham Castle, that was, you know, Edinburgh Vaults is probably one of those places you can probably only visit through the day. I think they probably do their own ghost tours on a night time.
Yeah, my friend Mike and his wife, he actually got in contact with a paranormal group in Scotland, and they were actually having a event or a ghost tour or something in the vaults, and they actually asked them to come along, so they got to go on a paranormal investigation with them. They said that place is just crazy active.
Yeah, I think when you go somewhere like that where there's no escape, if you know what I mean, you can't run and switch the light on, you can't run out the door. It's like you're in there. I think that plays on people's minds a lot, that you're physically trapped, I suppose. But you probably make people feel probably be a lot more scared than they would be normally if you're taking one of the safety nets away from them.
Now, you know, since you go in locations by yourself a lot of the time, has there ever been a time where you go in and you get that uneasy feeling like you don't belong there or whatever, and you actually have to, you know, go outside and kind of regain, you know, your strength or, you know, whatever it might be and go back in?
Yeah, I think nearly everywhere. The places I go, you know, if people say I'm got a bit of fear in you, they're probably lying. A couple of the places, I can remember one of the places where I turned up. There was actually one German couple staying there. And this was a castle on the Scottish borders. And the woman had said, and I was reading the guest book, because what I normally do when I go to these places is I read the guest book to see if anybody's wrote any comments about, you know, what may have happened, if I experienced anything. And I could see this couple looking at us thinking, what's this guy doing? And then we went on the tour, and I was going in rooms with the lights off, looking around, and this German couple, you could see them thinking, what on earth is this guy doing? And then we finished the tour, and the girl said, basically, I'm going now. I'll just lock the door. Just go where you want. Just don't disturb the Germans. They were in whatever room number they were in. And I got some... I was staying on Halloween, the night before my birthday, in the red room at this location, which is supposed to be the most haunted room. So I was staying in the most haunted room by myself. But I went on a wander to Mary Queen of Scots' room. And it was a big four-poster bed with the picture of Mary Queen of Scots on the wall. And that's the room she actually stayed in. And I pitched up a seat, or I sat, where Mary Queen of Scots used to put her makeup on. And we knew from the tour she used to put her makeup on in this certain area, because that was one of the only places the light shone through the window in the castle. Mm-hmm. So I pitched a seat there. Started asking out, you know, one knock for yes, two for no. And I started to get response. Warming up or cooling down. Checked that it wasn't that. And then the knocks were getting closer and closer to us. At which point I asked, would you like us to leave your room? And there was one big crack for yes. And that was it. I thought, I don't want to wait for the next crack. So I made for a hasty exit out the door. And then I thought, I'll go back to the... And I think, God, I've left that room, and I've got to go back to the most haunted room now. So I just went on a wander around the castle, and then decided I wouldn't go back in a room. And I went... that was one of the places where I couldn't physically make myself go back into the room. And I went to a night at a place called Broom Hall in Cumbria. The place was supposed to have a curse on it and the likes. And they found a skull hidden in the walls. And when they took the skull out, things was happening. So they put the skull back in the wall. And I was there for the night. It was all open plan outside. There was an old bunker underground, a World War II bunker, and I basically went for a walk around the cemetery by myself and in the woods. And that was one of them. That was pretty frightening. Something about cemeteries and by yourself and being inside a World War II bunker in the pitch black isn't very nice. But a lot of it's mind, and if, like Jody probably say, if Jody's done a lot of places by herself, a lot of it's just mind. You're getting your mind over the fact. You just, you know, it's trying to relax and just thinking to yourself, if something does happen, don't just go running. Do you know what I mean? If, you know, if something does kick off or something happens, try and just compose yourself the best you can. And if it gets too silly, then obviously, you know, you leave.
I've had some crazy things happen to me before, and one of the craziest was I was in a residential home, and I walked back to the back bedroom where a lot of activity was happening, and I was filming the rest of the team coming down the hallway, and one of the team members, he gets in the doorway and his legs buckle like something had just pulled all his energy out of him. And his K2 meter was pegging out all the way up in red. And I ran up to see what was wrong, you know, what, if he's okay. And me, him, and another girl on the team, we got tossed out of the room. We ended up, it was like this gush of wind, and all three of us ended up in the hallway on the floor.
Oof.
And I was like, holy crap.
Oh. I broke up there, sorry, just at the end.
Do what?
Wait, okay.
And just, yeah, to come back there, you've come back, yeah.
Yeah. So, the, you know, and I've had stuff thrown at me, rocks thrown, those kind of things. And it, now that I've done it so much, now when some of these stuff, the stuff happens, it's more like I'm startled for a second, and then I'm like, okay, how in the heck did that happen? You know, then I'm trying to figure out what the heck's going on, you know?
Mm. I mean, I
thoroughly believe, just like you said, I think a lot of the time we have to battle our own minds and keep our minds in a right place because, you know, your eyes and everything can play tricks on you and get that fear in you.
Mm. I mean, I've got to say to people when we go into some places, especially the Air Museum, where you're in between the exhibits, or you may be sitting in an aeroplane or an old helicopter. You know, you don't. If something happens, don't run because you're going to do more damage to yourself. You probably take your head off on a propeller, or you know, you're going to hurt yourself if you run. Just try and stand still. Basically, if you're going to scream, just stand still and scream.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't run. Now, the worst thing you can do is run because you. Yeah, people can't keep up with you, and then everybody else follows suit. But yeah, I think a lot of it. I mean, what's Jody like? Were you the same Jody when you went off alone? Just mind over matter, or?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, some people just cannot do it. They're afraid of the dark, and they can't go, and they couldn't do that. You know what I'm saying? But then. I don't know, Kevin, have you ever been at a haunted location by yourself all night?
Not by myself, no. I've been in parts of a location by myself, 'cause we do isolation sessions as part of our investigations where, you know, couple of us will go in different parts of a location by ourselves for a good little while and see what we get by ourselves. But no, I haven't spent a night. I mean, I do have, I guess you could say in a way, I have three spirits here in my house. And so, yeah, I'm always here alone this year, but they don't mess with me too much because like I've told them before, if you're going to be here, you might as well pay rent.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of it as well, people from when they're little are always have an inbred fear of the dark, whether it's there's a monster under your bed or, you know, whatever it is, the dark's evil. So when you get older, it's just that fear in your head. And I know when after I started going on ghost hunting events and investigations and things, you get them nights where you sometimes wake up and think, God, I can't go to the toilet. But after I started doing that, it wasn't a problem. After, you know, you get up and you don't have to switch the light on to go to the toilet or whatever. You just, you know, you're in the bedroom. And I think a lot of it's just fear people have had from a young age. You know, you're just losing the sense. You're just losing one of your senses of sight. That's the main one. And then you just, especially when it's pitch black. And obviously that your senses are heightened. Obviously, your hearings, you hear everything. So.
I've tried to explain to people, you know, because on television, they're always doing investigations in the dark. And I've told people numerous times, especially clients, that, and a lot of the clients already know this because they're having stuff moved and doors opening and closing and stuff during the day, you know, and I try to tell people, you don't necessarily have to do a paranormal investigation in the dark. You could have all the lights on. Now, the only thing, like you said, is when you do go dark, is then it forces your other senses to heighten themselves because you can't see.
Yeah.
So, therefore, you pick up more with your other senses. But paranormal activity happens whenever they feel like doing something. Now, have you ever had anything follow you home, spirit-wise, from a location?
It's a good question, that actually. I've had a couple of instances where the second or third time I was at Broom Hall, I don't know what had happened, but Paul and a couple of the other psychics and mediums who are friendly with, I'm always sort of picking up on stuff, not like names or things, it's sort of emotions and feelings or certain things come to us now and again, and Paul and people say, oh, you know, why not try and develop it? And I don't want to, basically. But I was on a location at Broom Hall, and for some reason we were in the woods, which is crazy enough. And the group went down the hill one way, and for some reason I veered off another way. And I can remember standing still. I can just remember the world seemed to slow down around us, and I was just standing still. And then I can remember turning around and walking back, and my girlfriend, like, I was nearly crying, and I can remember my girlfriend saying, what's the matter, what's happened to your face, what's happened to your face? And I was like, what do you mean, what's happened to my face? And she said my face had changed. She had said my face had changed. That may be a good thing. And then for about 2 weeks after that, I was seriously a different person. I was a different person. My attitude, I'm not saying I'm funny, but I wasn't my jovial self. And I had to actually go to Paul and Diane, who does the shows with, and, you know, ask, you know, for some help, for stuff I could do to try and take whatever was off his. And I believe something had overshadowed us, or that's what I was told, something had overshadowed us in the woods and changed the emotions of us. And that, because I had sort of carried on the event and didn't really want to see anything to anyone, and didn't mention it to Paul at the time, I've sort of took them feelings and emotions home with us. And that's probably the worst I've been. And since then, I've always said to Paul, look, I sense this, I feel this, or whatever, you know, can you just, you know, whatever you do, can you do it? Or, you know, obviously, you know, Paul puts protection on and all that stuff they do. And I think I'd been shadowed by something there. I'm not saying it was evil, I just think something shadowed us. You know, it wasn't a nice feeling, but it wasn't just a strange emptiness, like the world stood still for a bit. And like I say, for a couple of weeks after that, I felt different. If you mean, if has a spirit ever followed us home to the house? No. I think once there was a spirit of a girl. Sounds terrible. A spirit of a girl had attached herself to us on a location, but Paul had been aware of it. And had sorted it out before we left the location. If not, he said, she probably would have followed you home. But I haven't, and I'm surprised I haven't, the amount of places I've been to. But I tend not to think about it too much.
Well, I have a spirit here at my house that it was at a location, and it's about 3 years ago, and he's still here. And I found out through several different of my friends in the field, psychics or whatnot, they've done some reads on him. I basically broke his hold on where he was, like he was stuck there.
Yeah.
And somehow or another, and he attached himself to me, and he likes my energy, so he chills here at the house.
Do you have anything like really cool coming up that you guys are going to be doing?
Well, we're working on it. I'm the same as you. Again, Jody, you're further on than us, but we've obviously got a lot of stuff. We're pitching another idea for TV this week. We're going to be sending the pitch off. Again, I'm the same as you. I hate not being able to tell people stuff. But because of the nature of the world we live in and the people you can and can't trust, and the problem in television, if you're thinking of the idea, someone else has already thought of it or is thinking of it, who may be a little bit further ahead of where you are. So we're working on a pitch now with a woman who's been on television, which is hopefully going to help. The Ghost of Emma pilot, which we're filling a bit more for. Basically, the first bit of the pilot was professionally filmed, and the second bit Paul and me did on handheld cameras, ourselves and my friend James up it, who did a lot of the help with the filming. Keel never went back and did like a behind-the-scenes type of thing. That's over in States now with a TV or a new sort of TV people that are setting up, and hopefully that's going to be shown. Again, you just don't know what's going to happen from it. We could be sitting here next year thinking, pitching more ideas, and it's just the nature of the beast is that I think you just need a bit of luck. You need a little bit of someone picks your pitch up before someone else's, or a few people have had on the show. They basically said similar. You know, I know Phil Wyman, who got on Most Haunted, he said his thing had lain for weeks. Someone just walked past and picked it up and liked the look of him when he got on the show. And he says it was just pure luck. I mean, you have to put a lot of work in, don't get us wrong. There's a lot of, you know, and as you probably know, Paul and me, this isn't my normal 9-to-5 doing this sort of stuff. I wish it was, but it doesn't pay the bills. At the minute, it doesn't. But it's a hard thing to break into. And paranormal TV in the UK isn't selling. Nobody's buying it. In the States, I think it's the opposite. I think everyone in the States is doing paranormal television, whether it's good or bad or whatever you think of it. Someone must like it, or they've just had a bit of luck to be in the right place at the right time. But I think, obviously, the advantage, if you got over there, you're in the States, and we're here. We've got to try and build on or sell our uniqueness of being British or English with the twist. I don't think you can do paranormal shows anymore where it's just walking around in the dark with a camera. I think you have to hook some other stuff into it, whether it's travel, whether it's meeting people, you know, whether there's a bit of mix into it. I don't think you can just do the same old ghost hunting shows that used to be on in the UK. It's people don't want it. They want something different. And the problem is with TV at the minute, I think in the States and over here, it's all, there's a, again, I've speaking to people, a lot of the shows that's on now, because of the economy, there's a reward at the end of the show. You know, you've got gold diggers, you've got porn stars. It's someone finding something in the attic and it's worth money. Someone digging for gold and finding there's a treasure at the end of it, whatever it may be, the treasure, you know. The meteorite men who we've had on the show, they're finding meteorites. There's something at the end of it where people are getting a treasure out of it. So, like I say, Jody, you know, because she's further up the ladder is such, if you know what I mean, than we are, how difficult and cutthroat it probably is, and how people, you've got to be very careful who you trust, and it's horrible, but that's the way you have to be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And unfortunately, you can't trust many people because you just don't know. You know, it's hard, and I think I'm sure Jody will let go of that.
I like what?
I'm sure you'll echo the fact that it's very cutthroat, and it's very, you know, it's unfortunate you can't tell people what things you're doing, you know, and what things you want to do.
It does. It sucks. Like, I've known since November this project coming up, and it's like I just want to slap it in people's face and tell them just shut up.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Shut up and leave me alone. But you know what? All it's going to do for me is bring more people bashing on me and finding another flaw in me.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Instead of just saying, you know what? She's different. She's an artist. You know, she just happens to love ghost hunting, and she incorporates her personality into it. You know? People always want to freaking hate, you know? And so it's, you know, that part sucks of it.
Mm. And I've no doubt if Paul, me, and the girl we're working on. You see, I'm saying the girl we're working with because I can't say her name. That's terrible. The girl we're working with, you know, if we get on television or TV, whether it be in the States over here, we'll have lots of people who think it's crap, or you'll have lots of people who think it's good. And all you can say to people is, well, you know, try and put the hard work in and the effort to get to where we've went and what the things we've done. And you do a show for TV, you get on television and do it. And it's like you say, it's sad.
Over here in the States, all they're doing is hiring like actors.
Right.
People who don't know what the hell they're doing. You know what I mean? And the shows are, I don't know, they're being, Kevin, what do you hear about the shows?
From talking to
radio
from,
show, so I'll let you take over on that one.
Well, I just from experience of talking to some of the people that have been on shows, paranormal shows that have, you know, been canceled, then they actually come out and talk about what really went on behind the scenes, you know. And you know, a lot of the times, like you said, you know, there's got to be some kind of reward. There's got to be something that the end of the episode you get to.
Yeah.
And There's several shows that were on TV that no longer are because of producers wanting to storyline the show, right, or storyline the episode and take facts and kind of twist them, or take events that happened paranormal-wise and make it more than what it really was.
Yeah,
you know, and pretty much, you know, make it more entertainment for the people to get viewers, and a lot of these folks that have been in these shows, there's like, that's not how it really happens. That's not how paranormal investigation happens. And you're trying to have us fake evidence or make up lies that are not really factual in order to get viewers for your show, you know. And I even know, Jody, I heard this, I've read it, and I've actually watched an interview too. The cast of Finding Bigfoot, they almost all of them almost left the show because the producer at the time wanted them to fake evidence or whatever it might be to make the show more entertaining, and they almost all walked off the show. And since then, they've kind of they pretty much told the producer, you know, we're going to do it our way, and you can either put it on television or not. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, some of the things that go on in the TV world, it seems like over here.
So we haven't got the. We've got your shows over here. We haven't got any of our own such anymore. Obviously, I think from what I read on Facebook and forums, Most Haunted's trying to come back, and even they're struggling to come back. So if they're struggling to come back in the UK, you've got to think it's going to be difficult to do a similar type show as them when they were like at the top of the tree. So you have to mix some sort of other elements in it, whether it's the personalities of the people on the show, mixed with, you know, like I said before, a bit of travel, meeting people. I mean, I would love to travel and meet people in the States and go around different places and the quirky side of it, you know, like how people, you get the crazy drunk in a bar who tells the ghost stories or whatever it may be, something that's got a bit of humor in it. It's got a bit of mix. It's got a bit of mix of everything, not just focusing on night vision cameras and somebody shouting, screaming at ghosts. They have to do something and throw something at them, and then when it does it, ask them to do it again. But that's just my opinion. And probably a lot of them other shows that I just mentioned are probably on TV for whatever reason, because there's action, stuff getting thrown, and you know, if there's action, people want to watch it.
Yeah, exactly. And to tell you the truth, I remember when Most Haunted was on, and I enjoyed watching that show. It was something different, you know, and it was something going on in another part of the world, you know, with investigators. So I enjoyed watching that show.
I mean, I know you yourself and Jody obviously were a bit envy of the locations over here, but I'm envy of some of the locations you've got over there. And, you know, just, you know, like you say, Alcatraz, places like that, which we've got nothing like that over here. You know, the big mental asylums you've got, we just haven't got them, you know. And obviously the size of the States compared to here. It's just obviously the history side, the way the history... the way history panned out, we've got a lot more history here, but that doesn't necessarily mean there's going to be more or less activity. It just, you know, I think the locations probably set the scene in people's mind a lot more. If you've gone to an old castle with torture chambers in it and dungeons in it, straight away you've got your mind pictured with what might have been going on.
We have more locations, like you said, as far as like penitentiaries and hospitals and asylums, where people may or may not have been tormented or diseased or whatever it might be. So there's a lot more chances that there's a spirit there or an energy or a spirit trapped in one of the locations over here. So, yeah, I mean, because I know Jody and myself can say that pretty much any abandoned hospital that we've been to, or abandoned school, or penitentiary, or asylum over here, one way or another, it's pretty haunted.
But no, I agree. I mean, like I say, it's great over here for the amount of castles and what you've got in a small area, really, of the UK. The amount of different locations in a small area, and there's probably quite a few we can't get access to. You know, there's probably more than we know about. Well, there will be more than we know about.
Well, that's one thing, though. If you do get your own show, probably a lot more doors are open to locations that before wouldn't let you in.
Yeah, that's when you have to tell them no. You should have let we in when we were on the way up, not when we're but no, it's all good, it's all fun. Try and bring a bit of fun to it, lighten it up a bit.
Exactly.
Well, we've got about 3 minutes left, so we need to get wrapping it up. Kevin, what were you just going to ask before I cut you off?
Oh, I was about to say the same thing. If Stephen wanted to plug any of his websites, his radio show, any of that stuff before we go off the air.
All right, well, I'll go quickly then. I'll tell you quickly. There's obviously the main website for the ghost hunting side of things is www.extremeghosthunting.com. But if you go on Facebook, if you just search Extreme Ghost Hunting or EGH Media, I'm in the process of creating a new EGH Media website, which is eghmedia.com, and there's links from each one of those, Facebook, back and forward and all them. So between those two sites and Facebook, that's the main links. And obviously on Blog Talk Radio, search EGH Media. We have shows similar to yourself, obviously in a different time zone. But as we're seeing tonight, it doesn't really make a difference.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. And will you keep us, like, informed if something, you know, you can finally talk about something and you kind of want to get it out there? Will you contact us? And
we definitely
will. We can have you on again and, you know, you can fill us in on what's going on.
Yeah, that's great. And vice versa for yourself as well, you know, when you can talk about what you've got going on.
Yeah, definitely. I will.
That's great. Well, thank you. To yourself and Liz, who was in the chat room, I think, who's been in the chat room, bless her, for 2 hours listening to somebody from Northern England.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much, Stephen, for coming on. It was a pleasure talking to you and meeting you.
No problem. It was great talking to Jody again and yourself for the first time.
All right. Well, get you some sleep and you have a good evening.
You too. Goodbye, everyone.
Good night.
Night.
All right. Well, that was cool.
Yeah, that was our first overseas guest.
Exactly. That is awesome. Because I just love talking to people and, you know, how in the heck would I ever been able to talk to somebody from England not doing the radio show, you know?
Yeah. You know, I've done a lot of radio overseas over the last, like, five or six years. The Queen of Burps is really popular over there.
Oh, yeah?
You know,
they got a crazy show. I'm going to have to try to check it out with Guinness Book of World Records of people trying crazy, setting crazy records.
Yeah.
That's your kind of peeps.
That's right. Yeah, sir.
And we got about 2.5 minutes left. I'm going to get back on the internet here in a little bit and talk to somebody that will hopefully be our guest next week. If it all pans out, she's actually from... She lives here in the States, but she is actually originally from Denmark, and she's kind of like you, Joey, in the way that she does a lot of different things: models, photographer, scuba diver, those type of things, and also a paranormal investigator.
That's awesome. Well, I look forward to talking to her. Will you let her know that?
Oh, I will.
I'm all for women and doing their own thing and being proud of it. And I don't think that we should get shit for it. And, you know, we should be able to express our personalities without everybody taking this entire freaking field as this is your life, you know, and you're not allowed to have any personality except for a scientific approach. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm over it, man.
And, like I said, she's a model as well, a good-looking woman, and in the paranormal field. So it'll be interesting to talk to
her.
Where
does she live here in the States?
California.
Nice. I might be going to California, and I might be heading to a location. So maybe she might want to hook up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
the place is pretty awesome. So, yeah, tell her I look forward to talking to her and meeting her.
Yeah, I definitely will do that. Well, okay. We want to thank...
Are you
going to
play me a song? Play me something freaky.
Freaky?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I need something freaky.
You need something freaky or something headbanging?
Yeah.
But
whatever you want to throw at me. Just throw something good. Put your spank on it.
I'll have to find it here. I want to take this opportunity to thank Stephen Lambert again from Extreme Ghost Hunting over in the UK. And, well, let's see. Well, we'll play. Hell, I don't know. You put me on the spot, Jody. You didn't give me time to select something here. We'll just play this. Hell, it's right there. Tune in next week, same time, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern here on Terrify Radio. Tune in tomorrow with Matt and Dennis of Full Spectrum Radio, and we will talk to everybody later. Everybody have a good night. Play. Well, I'm trying to play a song.
What's your beef?
Why is it every time at the end of the show, my internet decides that, hey, I'm going to act up? But that's all right. I'm about to fix that problem. So my studio is not responding. So I'm about to fix my internet real fast here as I'm still talking in the archive. Give me a few seconds here, folks, and my internet will come back up here in a second. Come on, internet. See, it runs fine every time, Jody, until I get to the end of the show. Here we go. It's coming back on. Let me reconnect. Come on. Good old technology. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. Okay, internet. I'm waiting on you. It should be coming up. There it goes. Let me reconnect. And I'm connecting right now. Okay, now I'm connected. Let's see here. Now I got to find where the song I'd picked. We'll just.
God, do you want me to start singing a song?
I know, right?
Yeah.
Hang on a second. I'm finding where I was at here. Let's try. Okay, where is it at? I'm just going to pick some, Jody, because I can't find what I had that I was going to play. So we'll go with... No, we're not going to use that one. We'll just go with some Eminem. If it'll play now.
Just gonna stand there and watch me burn. It's alright because I like the way it hurts. Just gonna stand there and hear me cry. Well, that's alright because I love the way you lie. I love the way you lie.
I can't tell you what it really is. I can only tell you what it feels like. And right now it's a steel knife in my windpipe. I can't breathe but I still fight. Well, I can fight as long as the wrong feels right. It's like I'm in flight, high off a log, drunk from my hate. It's like I'm huffing pain. I love her, the more I suffocate. Right before I'm about to drown, she resuscitates me. She fucking hates me, and I love it. Wait, where you going? I'm leaving you. No, you ain't come back. We're running right back. Here we go again. It's so insane, because when it's going good, it's going great. I'm Superman.
Now I know we said things, did things that we didn't mean.